This is WLVR. It's time to Take Five with Grover Silcox. Each week, he'll offer his insights and observations on life. Today,
I love Betty White. There's an old adage that people might not remember what you say, but they will remember how you made them feel. The late comic magician and actor Harry Anderson was a good friend of mine. Harry's fame blossomed as the star of the NBC sitcom Night Court starting in 1981. As his fame grew, he was offered numerous specials to host and produce. He often called his showbiz buddies, like me, to help him write them. On one such occasion, I was staying with Harry and his family in L.A. while working with him on a magic special. During my stay, the great singer Mel Torme invited Harry and his wife, Leslie, to a dinner party at his house. Harry asked to bring his house guest, me. Mel agreed. The next night, we were off to Mel's. Mel had become a recurring guest on Night Court. According to the storyline, Harry's character was enamored with Mel Torme. Harry in real life claimed to have been a longtime fan. Known as the Velvet Fog for his smooth, sonorous voice, Mel was also the king of scat, man, right up there with Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. I had always loved jazz and big band, and Mel ranked among the best in the biz. I couldn't wait to meet him. Excitement mounted. I scatted blithely in the back seat as we wended our way through the Hollywood Hills. Standing at Mel's front door, I pushed the bell, half expecting to hear shadootin'. But no, it simply chimed. The door opened. There stood all 5 feet 3 inches of the Velvet Fog. Arms outstretched, he gushed over Harry and Leslie. I got a cordial nod. Mel's other guests rushed to embrace the Andersons. Rich Little, the impressionist, brushed by me to greet them with his best Johnny Carson impression. And Betty White, who was at this time one of the stars of the Golden Girls TV show, beamed, not only at Harry and Leslie, but also at me. She had me at hello. Ushered into the kitchen, we filled our plates from a generous spread. We adjourned to the living room surrounded by Mel's grand piano, at least it looked grand, and shelves of books on topics like the Old West and Elizabeth I, or in Mel's lingo, hey, Betty the First, man. While we ate, Mel lamented about visiting the great drummer Buddy Rich just before he died. He segued from Buddy to his projection room and the many films in his personal library. Mel led us to see his German Luger and six-shooter collections. Hey, but don't go anywhere, because check this out. And he pointed to a replica of the Maltese Falcon, which Harry had given him. Everyone mingled, but I was the proverbial fly on the wall. Betty noticed. She noticed me standing alone and came over, cradling her little dog. She asked me where I lived. I said, Philly. Her face lit up, saying that she loved my hometown, had great memories of Philadelphia. I praised the Golden Girls for its talented cast and clever writing. She smiled broadly and thanked me as though I was, well, Mel Torme. I patted her doggie's tufted brow, which elicited an even broader smile from his owner. Harry sidled up to ask if I had a chance to chat with our host. Well, it was hard to catch Mel as he mingled with his guests. Looking back, I learned that Mel liked movies, six-shooters, German Lugers, the Maltese Falcon, and Buddy Rich. But the Velvet Fog never really let me get too close. I guess fogs are like that. I still dug the scene, though. And on the other hand, Betty White, she made me feel right at home, even if it was Mel's place. She was as warm and welcoming as everyone thinks. I guess the old adage is true, because I vividly remember how Betty made me feel, while meeting Mel remains a bit foggy. Hey, don't get me wrong. I dig Mel's music, but I love Betty White.
Lehigh Valley Public Media's Grover Silcox. Find out more by visiting wlvr.org/take5. This is WLVR.